Welcome and thank you for tuning into Crossroads Church Aspen and our teaching ministry. We are thrilled that you desire to learn more about God and His Word. We also want to encourage you not to make this a substitute for belonging to a local church in your area. We are made for community and to be relationally connected to each other in the body of Christ. Remember, isolation kills, but community builds. We hope this message blesses you and draws you deeper into the community of Christ Church. How's everybody doing this morning? So, a little thin crowd. Of course, it's fall break this week, and that's another reason why we kind of postponed our meeting tonight, was just because we have a lot of folks who are out since it's fall break, and we want to make sure they're here for that. So, just to reiterate that, no church meeting tonight. We're going to put probably next Sunday. We'll shoot it out, let you know when, but we got a lot of stuff we want to talk to you about. Hope you'll be able to make it. For that, it'll be an exciting time just to have some great dialogue just about what's happening in life of the church and where we see things going. And we'll have some good dialogue on that. Also, do not forget, next weekend is fall back. It's hard to believe we're already there. So just kind of, you know, put that in Saturday night. Of course, now with phones, it all kind of happens automatically, doesn't it? So, but just our own body doesn't seem to kind of adjust too well, does it, to all that. All right, exactly. If you've been with us this fall, we've been in a series getting deeply involved with God and with people. This morning, I want to talk to you about being hungry for God. How do we get hungry for God? A big question, right? Just how do we get hungry for God? And I want to just root that, place that in our scheme here. This is our spiritual formation grid. In the fireplace room, you'll see trifolds for discipleship at Crossroads. It's amazing today in the church how many people have not been discipled. It's a command. It is the process of becoming a mature believer that the scripture that Jesus lines out. Discipleship is not having coming to church. Discipleship is getting together with a small group of folks, someone leading one or two or three others through the process of the gospel. You start with the gospel, laying a solid foundation of what is the gospel about and sharing our own story, our own lives, where we're at. What is God doing in this journey of what it looks like to walk with God, to meet Jesus for the first time and to walk in His abundance that He promises. That is fleshed out deeply and intimately in a small group, just like Jesus did with His 12, and He had His inner circle of three, even that. Within that. So we just encourage you in this process of becoming part of our Crossroads family that if you haven't been discipled, please talk to us about that. We have groups sparking off everywhere. It is foundational to the Christian life and strengthening. Today, like I said, many people in the church haven't been discipled, and that means they just haven't had the chance to really dig in with the scriptures with others and really ask deep questions. That's the primary place of transformation. Right, where we see the Word of God come alive in our lives and have others share with us and realize, you know what, we got the same questions everybody else has, right, in this process. And so this morning, we've been through this fall talking, you know, over here, the black heart is where we are, our mind, emotion, and will, our heart, our soul, the inner core being of who we are is black in the sense that it is, we're out of relationship. We're not connected to God. We need our spirit brought alive. And that's what Jesus, the Father sent Jesus to do. And when we come to know Jesus, the Holy Spirit enters into our heart and comes into fellowship with our spirit. And that's that awakening. It's the born again, all that stuff we see in the scripture. This is part of what we dive into, right, in discipleship, walking through all the passages of the Bible, making sense of the gospel and what Jesus' real message, right, was to us. Now, the last few weeks, we've moved to the next heart here, kind of in the middle towards the end. Big word there is sanctification. In other words, that's how do we become like Jesus? What does it look like to experience spiritual growth and to learn the Bible, but not just learning information, but how do we actually experience God and see His transforming, freeing, bringing the abundance, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace? What does this life with Jesus look like? Too many people have fallen into just kind of a church program in our lives, and we've never really experienced everything that God wants to pour out right into our lives. And this is where we want to set this topic this morning. How do we become hungry for God? I'll just throw some things out to you this morning. We all would agree food is good, right? I think some of us more than others, food is good. And we all would probably agree water is good. Right? We need both to survive. Which one, though, is more important, water or food? Water, absolutely. But there's something more important than water and food. What is that? That's right. We got to breathe. We need oxygen to keep ourselves alive. And that's the unseen. You can't see it. We see clearly, like the plate of food that we crave, we get satisfaction, we drink the water, we're clearly in tune with those. Our senses are primarily rooted in the things of the world, the material world that we can get our hands on, see, and feel, the material world. But it's the unseen things that are actually the most important. The most important aspect of our life is what we cannot see. The scripture tells us that that's what it is to walk by faith, is not by sight. To walk by faith is primarily to let the unseen lead us, and that God comes to us in that place. And our hunger for God is learning to address the most important aspects in our life, which is those things that are actually unseen, right, in our lives. I think we'd all agree, right, there's a struggle going on when it comes to in our lives of being hungry for God. We understand hunger for food. We understand hunger for just material things that satisfy us, that make us feel good, the things that we pursue. Every bit of influence around us in the world is trying to, every commercial is trying to tease our appetite that we need something to be satisfied, right? Everything, for the most part, is pretty much throughout our day, is awakening these senses to the material world, something I need to feed on, something I need to buy, something I need to acquire, right, so that I can be satisfied. We have fewer aspects in our lives of going below the surface to awaken the deep sense of my spiritual need, the more important aspects of my soul. The reality, folks, is the unseen part of you is the most important part of you. I need you to think about that. It's not what we see. And isn't the world and every bit of pressure and everything we go on, it's we do all this work on this outside here. Now, that's important. We can't remove these. We're all one. And the outside is important. But it's not as important of who you really are is actually unseen until you learn and I learn to reveal it and live on that plane and bring God into it. And so much of our life is so wrapped up in the seen. This idea of getting hunger for God is something we have to nurture if we're going to bring alive our soul and our spirit. Everything that God desires, right, to pour out in our lives. It's a learning to walk by faith, learning to walk and follow Jesus is a reorienting of our entire world in the sense of focusing more and realizing my life is birthed from the unseen. I must nurture that. And it will only give me a healthy perspective on the seen, on the material world, right around me. This is what Jesus came to do. This is the gospel. He came to bring salvation and awakening, a reconnection back to God to awaken the fullness of who we really are. And folks, isn't it true? The deepest aspects of the things we really wrestle with when tough times hit us or when life really, the wheels come off the bus, whatever it may be, the real big questions of my identity, who I am, where am I going? Why am I here? Does anybody love me? What's my significance? All of these are unseen questions. Though often we let, right, the outside things, we try to focus on those to build up really the unseen, and that never works, does it? Doesn't ever satisfy, right? The only thing that ultimately satisfies our soul is, as we're going to see this morning, what Jesus comes to give us is to awaken the unseen, the real you, the unseen you, the you that lives for all eternity, that God came to call you back into fellowship because he desires to be with you. He desires to awaken, and he created you, and only he knows ultimately the real you, and that he wants to come, right, and make that beautiful, something absolutely wonderful. And so we want to dive in this morning on this idea of hunger for God. And I want to give you, this isn't a sermon point. I want you to write this down or take a picture of it, whatever it is. I want you to think deeply on this. I want to describe something for you. This, because I'm going to break this down later in the message. I'm going to share a story with you. But here's the statement. If we are going to live for Jesus, we must be living with Jesus. If we're going to live for him, we must learn to live with him. Right? Religion is about doing things for God. And we've all fallen into the routine of the ritual of just going through the motions, whether it's Bible study, whether it's just coming to church, whether it's a little prayer here or there, and all that throughout the ages that the church has actually put all this ritual. Now, the church never intended for all of those things to just keep us in ritual. Always the intent was to awaken our soul to God. But what's happened is religion takes over and we just subtly fall into this lifestyle doing things for God and never really being with God. And when we run into anxiety and worry and problems in life, we just think, I just got to get more busy in church. I got to do more things rather than I need to be with the Lord. I need clarity on this. And we see the entire aspect of following Jesus. Jesus, when he called his disciples, Mark 3:13, he called them first to be with him before he equipped them and sent them out on mission. And folks, we live in an era where this is, I give this to you not as a sermon point, but as a prophetic word for us as individuals and for the church in America today. Now you say, I've never heard, what do you mean by the difference? What's a prophetic word? Take it first and make sure, test it with the scripture. Is that statement true biblically, what the Bible says? We start there. Second thing, when I say it's not just a sermon point, but it's a prophetic word, for us today and for our nation, the church in America, is that true for my own personal life for this day and age? And is that true in the sense of God needing, desiring, wanting to do something fresh in his church in America today, right? And so we'll come back to this here in just a minute. I want to take us on a little journey through the scriptures this morning on this issue of hunger and how do we get hungry for God. And I have them on the screen, but I encourage you to follow along with your own Bible, or you can just listen this morning to the Word of God. Sometimes just listening is actually more powerful. This is John 4. I'm going to just take us on journey, John 4, and then into John 6 this morning. And hopefully the Word of God will, the promise is it will not return void if it is received with faith, right? In the sense of the very words of God. This is chapter 4 of John, starting in verse 31, and this is in the context of Jesus with the woman at the well. It's later in the story. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, Jesus, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. And so the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him something to eat? See what's happening here? He's doing the same thing we do all the time. We get our eyes focused on our physical hunger, on what is seen and what I can understand, and we miss completely the spiritual realm of what I really need is I need my soul and spirit awakened, right? And so the disciples said, well, has anybody brought him something to eat? And Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. That's what really satisfies. It's to know the Father's love and to know his will. Chapter 6, starting verse 25 of John. And this is in all of chapter 6 in John is the Bread of Life discourse. It's beautiful. I'd encourage you to go back, read the whole. It's a long chapter. Read the whole thing. But we're just going to drop into verse 25. And this is what Jesus says. When they found him, a large crowd actually, because he had just fed the 5,000. It says, when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? And Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Folks, it's a powerful message for us. Why are we seeking God? Do we just want God to answer our prayer requests? Do we just want God to be like the gumball machine, to hand us a request, hand us what we need? Because see, God wants to be wanted for who he is. Because he wants relationship with us. Jesus says this in verse 29, do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him the Father has set his seal. Down to verse 35, Jesus says to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst. I'm going to read that again. Jesus says to them, I'm the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst. And at the end of the chapter, starting verse 32, and the Jews, then disputed among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Because Jesus kept vamping up his dialogue. Remember, Jesus never was about building a crowd. And this crowd, by the way, folks, is probably close to 20,000 people. When he was 5,000 men, he fed, and all the children and women involved. Jesus always was looking to call people out of the crowd into the core. We in America do the opposite. When we see a crowd, we think, oh, something successful is going on. That is not the way of Jesus. Jesus is not concerned about how large the crowd is because he knows that crowd is ruled by a mob mentality. And that ritual and people can hide in a crowd and never deal with their heart and never really get any personal attention. What Jesus is concerned about is the individual soul, the individual spirit. He wants relationship with you, and he wants you out of the crowd in fellowship right with him. And this is the call to discipleship, right? To come and follow him. And Jesus said, the Jews then disputed among themselves, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true drink, and my blood is true, my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father. So whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Talking about the manna in the desert in the Old Testament. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. Wow. If we read on there in that chapter, it says the crowd dispersed. It's like that saying's too hard for them. What are you talking about? Cannibalism or something? And it goes on to say, no, their hearts were, all they were concerned about was what? Physical food, the physical praying. Their spirit and their soul wasn't allowed to listen to what Jesus was talking about was spiritual. He's talking about communion. He's talking about coming and having deep, intimate fellowship with God and with our Creator. And that he's the one who ultimately satisfies. And his promise over and over again, all the way back to the Sermon on the Mount, is that, boy, don't be anxious. Don't be worried and stressed about all these physical things, what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, everything else. Seek first the kingdom of God, and this is a promise, folks. All these will be added to you. You come to me and you'll be satisfied. You'll never hunger. You'll never thirst. That's a promise from God. And many of us in here could stand up right now and give incredible testimony of the song we sang, his goodness, his faithfulness, and his goodness. And by the way, that song comes from the end of Psalm 23. Lord is my shepherd. And it says, surely, David ends, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of God forever. Wow. That's God's heart. That's his promise. For those who are thirsty and hungering and can see past the world's push and complete aspect of everything's material and my physical needs and trying to be satisfy my soul with more houses, more vacations, more whatever it is, those are blessings from God, but they will never satisfy a soul, ever. So Jesus is always standing up. And multiple times as he stands up in front of the feast, the large crowd says, anybody hungry out there? Now, is anybody thirsty? In other words, he's trying to stir hunger. And today in the church, today he would stand and say the same thing. Is anybody hungry out there? I mean, does anybody want God? Does anybody want more than just religion and just going through a bunch of ritual and steps? Does anybody want what I have to give, eternal life, intimate fellowship with me? Is there a hunger among God's people? Where is the hunger of God? Where's the desperation, the intent to be with him and to just want him and to reap his benefits and have that overflow right in our life? And so, folks, that statement that we looked at, oh, I went the wrong way. Again, I give this to you as a prophetic word. Take time. Pray about it. Test it with the word of God. Test it in your own life. Test it when you look at the state of the church in America, what is needed today. And I've seen it all over the place, and I'm going to give you my personal testimony with this statement here in a second, but even in chapter 6, but I could go over and over and over again, something I've seen, and we could jump over. A couple weeks ago, we were in John 15, talking about the vine and the branches, and Jesus says, he says, if you abide in me, and I abide in you, ask me anything, and it'll be done for you. This is so to bring glory to my Father in heaven, and prove that you're my disciples. But see, there's two things there. Oftentimes, we just kind of bunch it together. If you abide in me, but the second part is, and I abide in you. And so I think what we've done as Americans in the churches, we're all about doing. Okay, I'm going to go abide in you, Jesus. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to get into the Word. I'm going to do some spiritual stuff. I'm going to give some money. I'm going to do. And we never get the second part of that. We never learn how to receive from him before we do. We never learn. We just go and we do in our own power, and we never see partnership, fellowship with God. We never see God's miraculous hand. We never really experience God's anointing, his blessing on us of the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, all that he promises by the power of the Spirit in our lives if we will be with him. And folks, that's the aspect of, and so for me, this has revolutionized just my time before the Lord is just simple things like this. Jesus, come abide in me. Come abide in me. Scripture says we have the mind of Christ. Lord, bring the fruit of the Spirit. Come fill me up with your Spirit. Lord, I want that abundance. I want what you have for me. And taking time. Lord, I've got a busy day. I've got big decisions that need to be made. I've got stress at work, stress at home. Jesus, come and fill me into the place of your rest. Fill me with your wisdom. Lord, stress in relationship, trauma here, trauma there. Jesus, come, I need time. Fill me up. Give me the wisdom of God. He promises the Father will give us wisdom if we take time to be with him. And folks, the Gospel of John tells us that Jesus did nothing that he didn't see his Father doing. And why Jesus did all these things? Because he was with the Father. He spent the time. He got up early. He took that time for inflow, blessing, right, into our lives. And I think we don't know how to receive from God today. We haven't been taught how to do that. We know how to receive from an entitlement standpoint, which we get in our culture, but we don't know how to truly receive as one who we know we are undeserving. We're under the grace of God, but we have a loving God who desires to pour it out. He's just looking for children who are willing to step into his presence, take the time to say, God, I need to receive. Fill me up. Spirit, come on and fill me up. And over the scripture talks about the fullness of Christ, that we may have and experience the fullness of Christ in our life. That only comes by taking time, right, to be connected to the vine, Jesus, and to have the sap of the Spirit, the inflow. God, please come, fill me up. Reveal to me when I am in the flesh and my response and my ideas and the way I make decisions is in my own flesh, in my own prideful wisdom versus, Lord, I need your wisdom. Do you know how much Jesus wants to bring that wisdom and peace into our lives? And it just doesn't happen on the fly. We got to spend time with him, right, to receive. And he's more than willing to give. I know when I look at my own life and my prayer life, and I've shared with you just how this series has really rocked me to show me the deficit in my prayer life. But I tell you, oftentimes I go to before the Lord and, you know, and as soon as you do this, what happens? Man, immediately distractions, and it's amazing the clutter in our souls, the noise, the clutter, the lies that are there. Right, the lies that we've been believing about ourselves or what we believe about God or what we think how God sees us or others see us. I mean, it's turmoil. Do you realize the turmoil in our souls? And you got to get to that place and get through. Lord, just come on, Jesus. And oftentimes we go to that place and we don't stay long enough to receive. We go, we check in the turmoil, the distraction, and then we just kind of bail out. Well, I had that time, and we never had a transaction. Nothing ever transformational happened. Nothing ever happened. We didn't ever receive anything from him. We never heard him because we didn't take the time, Lord. And look at all the way in the Bible, right? Was, you know, you look at Jacob wrestling with God or Moses says, God, you've called me in the promise, but let me tell you right now, I'm not going without you. I'm not going without you unless your presence is still with us, cloud by day, fire by night. I'm not going. Sorry. I'm going to stay right here. And Jacob wrestling with that. I'm not getting up. We're going to wrestle this out all night long until I hear from you. That's not the American Christian way. It is insta God, insta answer. I got to have it now. I don't infringe upon my sleep or don't infringe upon my schedule. And we never get to that place where God just flows and it just flows. And I hope you know what that's like. I hope you've experienced what the psalmist says. Oh, taste and see what? The Lord's goodness. And you get a little taste and you're like, God, I gotta more of that. And you learn to reorient our lives to, all right, when I know I'm operating at a deficit, I need some vine time. Lord, I need to come. I need some inflow here. I'm stressed. I'm burnt out. I'm all this. Come on, fill me up, God. Fill me up. And I'm going to stay in this place. I'm going to stay at it until I get breakthrough on this, right? So, a few of us, we get an opportunity. We were part of this festival down in, Christian Festival in Texas. We've done it for 10 years now. We go down there. I do some teaching, and Derek does the worship, and we're part of a ministry team down there. I didn't come in. It started on Friday night. I missed Friday night. Matt Chandler was the speaker. By the way, Matt Chandler is going to be with us at G3 this year, first weekend of February. Mark it on your calendars. It is a chance for all. We come together as a whole church family, and we have our friends, our church in Glenwood be with us, Sandbox from Houston be with us, and we have several other, some folks planting in Denver. We'll talk about that. We'll be with us. Just some friends that many of you have had a chance to meet. It'll be an awesome time of worship and learning from some amazing. Chandler's one of the best-known preachers in America today. It's a privilege to have him here and some other guys as well. We'll talk more about that. Mark it on your calendars. Anyway, he spoke Friday night at this event, and I wasn't there. But I do Sunday morning, and so we try to connect everything together. So they sent me his message, just MP3. My plane was delayed here Saturday morning out of Aspen. Shocker, right? Don't get me off. And so I bolted, because I needed to be there Saturday night for the program. And so I bolted, drove to Denver, got on an earlier flight, made Houston, which is awesome. So I got on the flight in Denver, and they'd sent me the MP3, so I was listening there. I sat down, I was on the aisle, the seat in the middle was empty, and a lady who was a pilot with United actually was at the window. And, you know, very full flight, you know, everybody's trying to cram their bags in, you know, tense, you know, all that. And it's just always so encouraging to see somebody who's like selfless there, right? It's just amazing, right? Somebody who's very helpful, right? It's amazing how it changes the atmosphere, right? So I'm standing, sitting, getting ready to plug in and listen to this message, and I look up, and you know how it is, somebody kind of gets your eye attention, hey, that's my seat. And it's a guy, and I caught his eyes as a young man, and I looked at him. The second I looked at him, I knew he was a brother. Second I looked at him, I knew he's a follower of Jesus. You ever had that experience? Kindred spirit? You encounter somebody, you can just look. Man, the grace of God's on that person. Right? There's a joy about that person. So he sits down, and I said, wow, okay, this is going to be fun. And I need to get through the message, so I went ahead and turned my message on to listen to it. And he just starts diving in with this pilot, starts talking to her and everything. So I get through the message, and Matt goes along, and I'm listening, and all of a sudden, in the middle of his message, Matt says this, hey, if we're going to live for Jesus, we must be living with Jesus. I'm like, whoa, stop. Because that's been a theme. And remember, just a few weeks ago, we talked about the same thing. We worded it differently, but the same thing. We were talking about the vine and the branches, right, back in this series a couple weeks ago, right? So I wrote that down. And then the guy next to me, he's vamping up with this lady, and I hear he's talking about all these, doing these miracles, you see, an answer prayer and everything. I'm like, well, I got to click off. I got to tune in here. And they had done some small talk. And anyway, afterwards, we talked a long time, and he's a young guy. He's involved in like 3 tech companies. Afterwards, he's trying to explain the whole Bitcoin industry he's in. I'm like, I don't get that. But just a neat, sharp guy. And he was like 38, still single, and it was a whole nother beautiful discussion about how he's waiting for his wife. But he's diving in with the gal, and he's just sharing with her. He's saying, look, you know, what I've realized is, man, you know, it's all about just a relationship with God. How much, he was just talking about the love of God and how God saved him.
He was a Messianic Jew, actually. So he was Jewish, and he came to faith in Jesus, and he was just sharing his heart with her, and her eyes were just, boom, wide. She was glued in, right? Then he started sharing about, hey, recently, man, I just want to share with you what God's doing. His love, man, I just feel like I want to pray for people. He went through no less than 10 to 12 testimonies. In the last, he was coming back from Vancouver, a business trip, and just some of his business friends, people on planes, other things he prayed for, that things came up, and they're just healed on the spot. And her eyes were wide open, and I'm dialed in right now. And so he's going there, and I thought, well, I got to get my message done. So I'm gonna have a little fun here. I'm gonna open my computer, and I'm gonna give him 3 minutes. And I bet he sees what I'm writing. Sure enough, I flip it. I'm typing in my message. You know what I mean? And he's, brother, well, look, I'm liking that stuff you're reading. Sorry for like reading, you know, you know. And so we start talking, and he shares his life, it's just encouraging. You got this guy, he's on the edge of just very successful business-wise, but the joy of the Lord was on this guy. I'm telling you, every seat around us was glued into this conversation, right? I'm asking about his life, he's asking about it. We just have this conversation going back and forth. The pilot's over there, she's kind of like, whoa, what's going on? And so after he told all these testimonies that was going on, he told this story, I wish I had time. They were on a yacht. This was just like 2 weeks before. It was a business trip, and they rented a big yacht that multiple companies, you know, and it was this big raging party. And he's like, Lord, just please, I want to just, let me just be a light for you out there. The brother ended up sitting next to, led a Muslim to faith. He wasn't practicing Muslim, but faith at this table. And his little table, all they talked about all night was the Lord. Right? While drinking cocktails. You know, I mean, just one thing after another, right? He's made himself available, right? To just bring joy into the atmosphere. And so through all this, I said, hey, tell me something. When did it change for you? You just told me about 40 days, 50 days of you've just seen this incredible love and joy, and you've seen God actually, you know, do some amazing things. What changed? What clicked it for you? Out of his mouth, he said this verbatim. Hey, you know what I'm learning? And it has made all the difference in my life. Is, you know what? I've been trying to live for Jesus. But you know what I'm laying hold of? Is I first got to be with Jesus. Think it had my attention? 5 minutes earlier, Chandler says the same thing on the MP3 I'm listening. Right? That's called a prophetic word, folks. God's trying to get my attention, but not just mine. He's doing something right out there. We had a conversation, and Phil, let me tell you how he engaged the count. I watched because we were talking and had a chance to talk to different people, but as we're walking off the plane, how he engaged the flight attendants and everybody else, there was a countenance change. When he engaged them, their face changed. I'm watching it all the way out to where he even engaged the gate agent. And he didn't go anything deep. He was just saying, man, thanks for the flight. And he brought some joy in the midst of a very crowded, you know, tense type situation, right? Hunger for God. You know what? Do you want to ride on a plane, get on early, fight to get your bag in a slot? Or do you want time with Jesus and say, Lord, I'm available on this flight? And use that flight as a life story. What about your life? You want to get through life, just getting where you need to get? You know, plugging in, doing, you know, making your own schedule? Or do you want to be available and let God take you on the greatest adventure and let God love and do supernatural things through you? Right? We have a choice. And it begins with hunger. It begins, Lord, I'm hungry. I got to fill up. I got to satisfy my soul. I got to get full of your love and who you are. So I got something to give, right? And for that brother walked on the plane, his countenance, talk about convicting for me. Because I got on that plane, I got to get my message ready, right? God had a different plan. Changed my complete message, right? So I want to leave you with just a couple of practical things and we'll be done here. How do we get hungry for God? Folks, you know what? In some ways, it's just like being hungry for food. So just take these things. I don't have time to break them down this morning, but wrestle with them, with the word of God in your own life. First one is we listen to our body and our spirit. How do you get hungry? Talked about it earlier. Well, you listen to your body, right? What happens? Your stomach starts growling, right? Even right now, some of you are like, Steve, hurry up. Lunch is around the corner. I got to get out and make my reservation, right? What about listening to our spirit? begins right there. I got to listen to my spirit. Are you listening? Are you in tune with your soul? Are you in tune when your soul is depleted and your spirit is depleted and spiritual rest, the depth of your soul, your connection with God, the deepest part of who you are, your deepest part of your identity, the deepest part of your dreams, the deepest part of your inner being. Are you in tune with those things and taking the time to be satisfied and come to God? Lord, fill me up. Satisfy me with those things. Second thing, we start to think about food that will satisfy our body and our spirit, right? I mean, let me just ask this question. How much time do you spend thinking about food? Some of us, a lot more than others. But really, just think about this. How much time do you spend thinking about food? Now, how much time do you start thinking about spiritual food? About feeding your soul. Third thing, we get hungry because others are talking about food and it's satisfaction. Man, I've got a buddy here in the church and he loves donuts and hot dogs. I love donuts and hot dogs. And anytime we see each other, man, I found this great new donut place. And then we start talking about it and my mouth is wired, donuts, we gotta go get a donut. So you know, it wells up hunger and it wells up, let's go do that. Let's go get a donut, right? And we're always, if we're at a basketball game or football game, let's get a hot dog. You know, it's kind of silly, but those are kind of fun. Right, if you talk, right, it's what you talk about with others, right? You talk about food. You talk about how good that meal was. All right, let's step it up a little bit. Some of you here are a little more high class than me. You like your fine wine and nice dinner. Yeah, that place, it was an amazing meal. Isn't that how we all go to a certain restaurant? It's because we heard somebody else talk about how satisfying and how good it was. If you're a wine drinker, right, why do you go buy a bottle of wine? Because, you know, this is the best wine I've ever tasted. Have this. That's why you go bottle it back, because somebody else, what? They awakened hunger in you, didn't they? Or they awakened thirst in you. That's how it works. It's no different in the spiritual realm. And folks, listen carefully to this, because to me, this is one of the most profound things on this issue that I want us to sink in, because I want this to be permeate and be part of our culture at Crossroads as a church family. We've been talking about in this series what it is to be a faith friend, a real friend, right, to go deeply. This series is called Getting Deep with God and with Each Other, right? So how can I be a good faith friend? Listen, a faith friend who loves us is somebody, when they're with us, they release in us a supernatural hunger for God. When I'm spending time with you, to be a faith friend, to really love you, I should be releasing in you a greater hunger for God. I shouldn't just be talking about football or whatever it is. Nothing wrong with those things. Actually, there's something really good about that. But I should be, in my time with you, stirring your hunger for God. And if you're with me for any period of time, you should come out of that hungrier for God. Man, I should be sharing testimony with you, just like the guy on the plane. And we should be doing that with you. You know, it is caught more than taught. Hunger for God is caught relationally when we hear people's testimony, when we see and experience the hunger and the joy and the testimonies in people's lives. We're like, I want that. That I want to be satisfied with that. I want that. It's caught more than it's taught. So to be a faith friend, to love each other in the body of Christ, we should be praying, Lord, when I'm with them, if it's for a bike ride, if it's whatever, may I stoke in them a supernatural hunger for God. May they get hungry for him. May they get hungry for you, Jesus, because of my time with them. Finally, man, we take time to feast, right, on food for our souls. How do we get hungry? Well, we got to taste it. We got to dive in. And folks, this is what communion is all about. So Jesus says, come to me. And he says, as often as you gather together, church, remember me, come to my table, partake of, remember what my body represented by the bread. Remember that the cup of wine, it represents my shed blood to cover all of your sins, past, present, future, the free, gracious gift of salvation to you, a free gift of eternal life. Remember my goodness, and that my goodness desires to follow you all the days of your lives. Remember those things. Examine ourselves before we come to the table. Lord, fill me up. Make me hungry. Make me hungry for the things that last, right? Father, thank you for this morning, and Lord, for your word and your goodness. Lord, I know your word doesn't return void, and Father, I just pray right now. We just ask that your spirit would just come in response to your word. and do business in our souls. Lord, you know where every one of us is at. You know the real us. You know the souls of spirit. You know where we're at. You know what we need more than we do. And Holy Spirit, I just ask you to come now and release your goodness in our lives, Father. Lord, show us how to respond and to encourage and love each other this morning as we prepare our hearts to come and to truly feast and to be satisfied, Jesus, with what you've done for us on the cross and your resurrection. We love you, Lord. Just take some time, keep your heads bowed, and just the team's going to lead us. And use this time to just to continue to receive. You've received the word of God. Now, make it real personal and just take this and ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want to say to me? What do you want to do? What do you need? Ask him to fill you up, to speak to you. And some of you might, God wants to say something, do something, give you something to be a blessing to somebody else, right? Here today.
Thank you for listening to this message. To hear other messages or learn more about Crossroads Church, visit our website at ccaspen.com.